Good evening. I will call to order the March 21st, 2022, the City of Kirkland Design Review Board meeting, and we will begin with a roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brad Brown.
Present.
Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
Ting Chen.
Present.
Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Adam Crane.
I'm here.
And Amy Charse. She's there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. The agenda for tonight is the continuous of the conceptual design conference for the suite apartment project. I did not get any minutes to approve. And please correct me if otherwise. Do we have any member of the audience that would like to speak not about the items on the agenda? No requests from the audience and no unfinished business. I will move on to our item on the agenda. And I will turn to Aoife for the continuous of the staff presentation.
Great, thank you, Shoshana. I will launch my presentation. Bear with me. Okay, good evening, everybody. My name is Aoife Blake. I'm an associate planner at the City of Kirkland. And this evening, we're here for the conceptual design conference for the Swift Apartments in the Totem Lake neighborhood. Just a reminder about the subject property. It contains two parcels shown here, delineated in red. The north parcel is 11919 Northeast 128th Street, and the southern parcel is 12707 120th Avenue Northeast. Both properties currently contain office buildings used for medical office. The property has street frontage along 128th, Northeast 128th Street here, which is a minor arterial, and a major pedestrian sidewalk. And then on 120th Avenue Northeast, it's a collector street. Surrounding the site, we have to the north and west, the same zone, TL1A, where the maximum height allowed in this zone is 160 feet above average building elevation. To the south, we have TL2, which is a commercial zone, has a maximum height limit of 135 feet above average building elevation. And then to the east, the maximum height is 150 feet above average building elevation. Just a quick overview on process here. The permitting process for this project. This is not a strict chronological list. Some of these reviews do overlap, but tonight we're here in the design review phase at the conceptual design conference. Should the project proceed to design response conference, that will happen next, and that process could be made up of a number of public meetings, all which will be noticed to the public. The State Environmental Protection Act, we have an environmental review here, that will occur in tandem with the design review of this project. This process looks at a lot of different environmental impacts to the project, including things like traffic impacts, noise, etc. We also have a parking review required for this project to determine the parking for the proposed office use. And then will come the grading and building permits for the project. Just as a reminder, the applicant is proposing to construct an 18 to 60, or excuse me, an 8 to 16 mixed-use building consisting of approximately 300 residential units, 35,000 square feet of medical office space, and a below-grade parking garage. Vehicular access is proposed from Northeast 128th Street on the north side of the site and via an access easement on the south on the Totomike Mall property. So as I mentioned, this is a follow-up from the first conceptual design conference. The applicant has provided an updated design packet that includes further analysis of the massing options 2 and 3 as directed by the board from the last meeting. One of the main issues that was discussed at the last conceptual design conference was the mass and scale of the building in relation to adjoining properties, the street, the pedestrian experience, and to the neighborhood as a whole. And so the applicant will make a presentation to respond to these issues, but before they do that, I would like to provide some more background information on Totem Lake and the city's vision for this neighborhood. So Totem Lake was approved as an urban center by King County and the countywide planning policies in 2003. And it was also designated a regional growth center by the Puget Sound Regional Council policy framework. And these like center designations are part of a growth management and transportation planning strategy to provide for greater intensity and density in areas where housing, employment, and other activities are close together in proximity to transit. So some other centers in our region would include Redmond, Issaquah, Renton. And so the city has a number of goals to support this vision in Totem Lake, identified in the city's comprehensive plan. And I just plucked out a couple of them there, but there are many to choose from if you want to read more about it. But some of them relate to this project and this development I listed here. So we have a plan for a land use pattern that promotes a dense urban core in the business district, with another goal to prioritize available infrastructure funding to projects within Totem Lake to support the development of an urban center density. We have a goal to support and promote an improved transit system and access to transit hubs within the urban center, and to focus intensive growth within the core of the Totem Lake Business District and to provide a variety of high density residential uses. So in accordance with the designation as urban center and regional growth center, the zoning code was amended in 2004 to allow for greater density and building height in the TL1A zone. With zoning code amendments, staff conducts analysis of the changes being proposed, and with this amendment a number of special regulations were included to mitigate for the height allowed. For example, to achieve height allowance up to 160 feet, projects must provide open space, meet the design guidelines for tower design, and there are size limitations on floor plates and tower separation. And so now I want to show you this story map that was developed by the city. And it talks about some of the public investment that the city and others have made in Totem Lake. So I'm just going to jump to my browser. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop sharing. Okay. So on this map, it highlights some of the public investments made in Totem Lake, like I said, by the city and by others, but particularly infrastructure and transportation investments. So some that I'll point out that are close to the business and in the business core, for example, the Totem Lake Park. So this park has recently been renovated with restrooms, picnic and play areas, and a boardwalk that will connect the CKC, the Cross Kirkland Corridor, and the Totem Lake Connector Bridge. This one here is the Totem Lake Connector Bridge, which connects this Cross Kirkland Corridor. It connects it across 124th and Totem Lake Boulevard. So it's one continuous pedestrian and bike bridge, so you don't have to cross on any roadway and other not so glamorous projects in the area relate a lot on infrastructure. I want to show this one first before that one. Let's see. Won't let me. Well, there we go. Number six here is the Totem Lake Gateway. It's a series of like street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements along Totem Lake Boulevard, Totem Lake Way, 120th Avenue. And it involves the repaving and even rebuilding sections of these streets and establishing wider sidewalks for pedestrian-oriented street lights as well. In just in context, this is our project site up here. So definitely some improvements in the area. Related to that is the Comfort Inn Pond modifications. This is a stormwater project to reduce the risk of flooding along Totem Lake Boulevard. This project here is some street improvements on 124th all the way over to the other side of the freeway to 116th. It's a five vehicular lanes, sidewalk level bike lanes, wide sidewalks, as well as accessible bus stops and improved lighting and landscaping. And then some of the other ones that that were done by the state relate to this. Here's this where the transit component comes in. This is the bus rapid transit stop on I-405, one of the two stops that will be in Kirkland, the one here in Totem Lake. And then number 10 here is the WashDOT, the I-405 new interchange at 132nd. So the on and off ramp at this location. So you can see there's been a lot of targeted investment in this area to really realize that vision for growth in Totem Lake, you know, matching the growth and the transit together in this community. So that was just a little brief overview I wanted to provide of some of the projects in this area and some of the history on Totem Lake. But back to this project, I'll jump back into presentation mode. We have received some public comments and they have been shared with the board and with the applicant, but the main points raised in these comments relate to traffic, both to the volume of traffic and circulation around the site. Comments we've heard are about concern about noise, about the building height and mass, in particular relation to solar exposure and impact on neighboring properties. Concerns around views and also air circulation. And so we are asking the board to provide some guidance to the applicant based on their proposal and to determine what information the applicant needs to provide for the design response conference. And so that's the end of my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions from the board.
Hey, Arif, I have a question. Do you have information about the park that is being proposed on 120 Street in front of the property?
The hill yeah. Street climb. I'm not at hand tonight.
And I have a quick question. Just to clarify, there's no variances or anything like that that the applicants requesting for their application, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so it all matches the zoning that's planned for Totem Lake, yep?
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Can we move forward to the applicant? Okay.
Well, good evening. Hello, and thank you for having us again. We're excited to be back here and share with you guys an expanded package that we've worked on very hard since we saw you just 2 weeks ago. I hope you've had a chance to flip through and review the package, and our intent of this package and the requested slides, including the neighborhood height assessment, the shadow studies, and the additional pedestrian advantages, help you all support this project moving into the next phase of the design process. And prior to me passing along to the Gensler team, I would like to reiterate what Brad just touched on, but the underlying zoning for this parcel, this project, and the adjacent properties has been in place since 2004, and we are proposing a fully code compliant project. So I'm excited to share with you. And with that, I will kick it off to the Gensler team. But before that, Carlos, the Hillside Park is complete. I was actually out there this week, and I would strongly advise everybody to go check it out. It's a nice little pocket park, primarily hardscape, but still a nice little reprieve as you're headed up the hill as a pedestrian.
All right. Good evening, and thank you for having us back, and thank you for your time. Also, Eva, thank you for the presentation. That was very helpful. As a reminder, my name is Case Creel with Gensler. Jeroen will be walking you through the bulk of the package tonight, and we've also brought in Reese Van Bemmel from the Swift Group here to talk about landscape issues. Next. And as a reminder, we're here to share requested information on two of the schemes that we presented on March 7th. Importantly, both are as-of-right schemes. We've heard that mentioned before, and I think it does bear repeating. We believe that Scheme 3 is really a much better response to the existing context and the patterns of growth that the city anticipated in the comprehensive plan. We'll also be sharing further development of the preferred scheme, and this includes the base scheme with a one-story MOB space and the alternate with two stories of MOB. Next. So we heard from you that in order to make the determination, the board wanted to understand the differences between schemes 2 and 3, particularly as they relate to issues of scale, access to light, and pedestrian experience. Accordingly, the following 4 studies were requested. A zoning analysis, looking at the neighborhood, some of the current conditions and the potential massing given the likely development in the area. Sections through the building and surrounding streets, and buildings to show how the proposed building massings would relate. Solar analyses that would look at how the two schemes would impact the surroundings throughout the year and at different times of the day. And then street level views from various points surrounding the site. Now, Jeroen will take you through these.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for having us. Nice to see you all. Thank you for that great introduction to the project in the beginning. There are certainly lots of great things that are happening around the site. So before we get into the massing and the scale of what the zoning means in context to this site, just wanted to iterate a few things that were touched on earlier. There are a lot of fantastic things happening in your neighborhood, as were mentioned, from the right-of-way improvements that flank the 120th Street to our site that include pedestrian enhancements, bike lane enhancements, and the park that was mentioned earlier. There's also great transit upgrades included that help support this type of density. And of course, the amenities that were touched on around with the parks. So again, just to start off with our particular site, to put this into context, we are in the TL1A zone, which means we are allowed to have a maximum lot coverage of 85%. Our height limit is 160 above average building elevation. Anything above the 80-foot mark from average building elevation is limited to a 10,000 square foot floor plate. Towers need to be separated if there are multiple towers above the 80 feet by 60 feet minimum. So I'd like to start with what the board requested as far as the visualizing what the potential of Totem Lake could look like in the future based on the zoning. What we've done here is we have color-coded each of these zones based on the zoning map to help illustrate what is possible. What you're seeing in dark gray are the existing buildings. I'll point out one that you're very familiar with, the Evergreen Hospital, and then the recent development down here at Totem Lake with the Aspect off to the south. This is our particular site. And so what you're seeing in this yellow-orange color is the potential massing. The dark mass is up to the 80 feet, which has that limit in site area coverage. and the transparent is the region that goes up to the 160. In that region, it's the limitation of the 10,000 square foot plate. So towers could exist in this area. With particular view on our site here, there is the ability to do multiple towers with that 60 foot separation. But we want to be clear that in both of these schemes, the intent is just to do one singular tower and not maximize with two towers. What you're seeing here to the east are the existing buildings, which have the ability to go taller, even though they are at a lower scale, built at a lower scale to date. So to illustrate, and again, as the board had requested, we wanted to dig into the site sections a little bit and show the relationship of both of these schemes, the scheme two and the scheme three, as it relates to this zoning and the context. And we've taken a few sections in the north-south direction, looking east and west, as well as in the east-west direction, looking north and south. I think it's also important to note that in both of these schemes, we are trying to maximize the distance between the adjacent existing buildings. So we are pushing the schemes to the farthest eastern point we can go up to the property line and trying to push it on the south as well to create as much room between existing buildings like the Jade and the Bower. In the area, Carlos, you mentioned the Hillside Park, as Mark denoted, which sits in here, and you'll see it in some of the plan images modeled as well in context. So I'll flip to these pages, the site sections. So what you're seeing in both of these are the north-south sections. Each one of these is facing east, and you're seeing scheme two on the top and scheme three on the bottom, just for comparison's sake. As we're cutting through, you're seeing the dark gray, which are the existing buildings. And exactly as you saw in the three-dimensional axonometric model, the upper red colored area is what could be built from a zoning perspective. To the north, we have the TL1A zone, which allows for 160 foot zone, so up to this level. And we've put into context in the distance as well, you can see on the east, the medical tower, the Evergreen Tower, which sits around the 150 foot mark. The cut through the site here shows these little blocks. Those are, of course, the existing buildings to date. But again, this zone does allow for a much taller structure to occur. In the scheme two, the tower is placed on the south side. So on the lowest portion of our site, there is about a 42 foot difference between 128th and the service access on the south. By placing the tower here, you'll see that between these two schemes, this tower becomes very tall. It is to the tune of about 182 feet in this location based off the south entry. In addition, you can see in scheme three that the tower sits at the high point. So based on average building elevation, we're at about the 140 mark in this location. What you're seeing with the green line is the connection between the zones. And as we saw in the three-dimensional model, there's a movement vertically and an increase in height as we move northward. So what we're illustrating with this is the continuation and the build from one zone to the south and then moving north. As you can tell in scheme two, there is quite a difference in gray change from the existing buildings with the tower and then swooping back down on the north side of our site, only to be increased potentially again to the north. We are pushing for the scheme, for the third scheme, because we feel that it is integrated in a much better fashion within the zoning, moving from south to north. And we've illustrated that again here with this green line and the sinuous curve that moves this up in scale. As we look towards the west, The section is, of course, similar. We're not seeing the Evergreen Tower since we're facing west, but we are seeing that 160-foot zone. And again, as I can, I'd like to point out that in this section, the relationship on the north between Scheme 3 and the potential maximum height limit to the north, there is a lot of synergy and equality between these scales versus in Scheme 2, where the tower seems to sit a little bit foreign on the south side based on the zoning as it's moving north.
And Jeroen, just to put that just a slightly a different way, we think that Scheme 3 mediates the hill climb a little bit better. Yep. The way in which we've got to introduce, you know, a massing change from lower to higher also works really well with the way in which we step up the street, up the hill.
In any case. Yep. So, and as we take sections in the east-west direction, again, facing north, what you're seeing here in Scheme 2 is obviously the lower piece of the building on the northern end along 128th. In the distance is the Evergreen, the Evergreen Rehabilitation Services Center is right next to it. In the distance is the tower, the Evergreen Tower. So you can see the relationship again on the north, with Scheme 2 dropping in scale. On the left-hand side towards the west is the Jade with the potential height increase or maximum height that could occur there as well as the height to the north that is at this level as well. In Scheme 3, again, we think that to Case's point, as he mentioned just now, the integration of height with the hill climb, this fits into the context of what will happen to the north better than Scheme 2 will. As we're looking south through the east-west cut, again, here you're seeing the project with the Jade on the right, the Evergreen Health Rehabilitation Services with the bus stop on the left. And as you can see, the big difference is that the tower sits on the south end, and really has that tall height that you saw in the earlier sections to the tune of 182 feet. In the section on the bottom, Scheme 3, the building is much lower towards the south with the tower cut through on the north. So when we stitch all this together with the images that you saw in the very beginning, you're seeing Scheme 2 here on the left and Scheme 3 on the right. And as you can see in this context, the point we're trying to make is that as this scheme moves up the hill, the building is growing with it. It is growing from a lower zoning in the TL2 towards the 160 of TL1 as that increases towards the north.
Really in anticipation of the growth that we know is planned in that TL1A zone.
All right, and I'll switch to the shadow analyses. The board had requested that we look at the shadows and what each scheme does, in particular to the courtyard, the Jade, and the park across the street, the Hill Climb Park. We have taken studies at the spring and fall equinox and at the winter and summer solstice. And then we've honed in on a couple of particular times that we think are really meaningful to both of these schemes as they tell a story of what's happening. So side by side again for comparison, easy comparison, Scheme 2 on the left, the preferred scheme on the right. These shadow studies are taken at increments in the day and kind of overlaid. And as you can tell, take this as an example on the north here, the darker shadow is where the building is casting a shadow for long periods of time during the day as the sun is moving around. And the lighter gray means the level of shadow isn't there as long because the sun has moved around. So at a high level, with the tower on the south, with the tall tower on the south, we can immediately see that there is much more shadow in the courtyard than with Scheme 3. And again, this is in March and September. in the 1 hour increments put together. In addition, we can see if you hone in at the Hillside Park, there's more, generally more shadow on the Hillside Park than there is with Scheme 3. So in Scheme 2, the tower on the south side is casting shadows over onto the park as well as into the courtyard.
And you also see the extent to which in Scheme 2, the shadow extends not just onto the southern part of the Jade, but past that in Scheme 2.
Yep.
Scheme 2, Kieran.
Sorry, over here.
Yep. To the south, where the tower is, yeah.
Yes. All right, switching to summer solstice, so June 21st. A similar observation, again, as we're putting all the shadow patterns together, we're seeing that the courtyard has more shade in this time period. In the second scheme, the third scheme, sorry, the preferred scheme, there is more sun into the courtyard. And then I'll switch to the winter. This is an interesting one. So winter solstice, December 21st, to Case's point just now, as we're looking at shadows, and obviously the sun is pretty low here and it's a short day, the shadows are much elongated with Scheme 2, with the tower sitting on the south. And you can predominantly see that here with the Jade and even next to the bower, the open space, the shadows are raking all the way across. Similar, because again, the height of the tower, there are greater shadows on the Hillside Park than there are in Scheme 3, where the tower is located on the north. So there's a couple items we just wanted to hone in, particular time periods that we thought were meaningful to these schemes and how they relate to the context. The first one is March 21st in the afternoon. And we're seeing that the shade from the tower on the south is casting a shadow onto the park. So in the mid-afternoon, it's March, probably a great time to be outside and enjoy this park. There's definitely more shade and shadow happening on this public amenity.
That would be today.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And with Scheme 3, as the tower sits on the north, there is greater opportunity for having sun in this park. And another interesting observation, we just pulled this into an axonometric to look at the adjacent building, the Jade and the Bower. In the winter months, when it would be great to have more sun on the building, we're seeing that in the morning time, the tower on the south starts to really cast a shadow on the Jade as well as the Bower in the distance here. With Scheme 3, the tower sitting on the north portion, there is greater opportunity for the sun to hit this building. And again, this is one particular increment of time as the sun is changing, but there is a huge difference between these two schemes. So another reason why we are proposing the Scheme 3 as a preferred. All right, and then we wanted to address the board's request for looking at multiple viewpoints, more of pedestrian viewpoints. We are layering in just some thoughts around landscape as well, even though this is very early on. So we have a couple slides to talk about that, early ideas, as well as the street sections that were requested. So I will run you through some of the viewpoints here. And sorry, let me back up for a second. We're going to start. These are in order, and we're going counter or clockwise, sorry, and hitting those in the next few pages here. So the first request was to look at Northeast 128th facing west as one would approach this building and the corner. So in the distance here is the Evergreen Medical Center. The white is the scheme that we're proposing. This was scheme two, and the preferred, the taller scheme on this corner is shown here on the right. So as a comparison, the jade is this block in front. As we come down and around the corner, the intent is to really open up this building and address the pedestrian scale at this corner. So to allow an entry and to include landscaping as well as all the pedestrian improvements that are slated for this area. And you'll see that in between scheme two and three, the change is obviously in the distance with the tower sitting on the south, versus on scheme three where the tower sits on the north and disappears into the distance up top. And I'm going to switch over for a second and ask Rhys to layer in as he's been thinking about the landscape and the softening of these edges and what it could do to the streetscape.
Yeah, thank you, Yaron. So I'm Rhys Van Bemmel. I'm with Swift Company Landscape Architects. What you have up here is kind of the first early thinking of the right-of-way and streetscape design. If we just start on 128th, I think there's a few goals kind of laid out in the design of this and then reinforced by the Kirkland zoning. But along 128th, let me state those goals just a little bit. So we're trying to reinforce those entries. So you can see that dark pavement band. Right there. Reinforce the entries, provide a pedestrian scale through seating elements, through site furnishings, and then through the landscape planting, and then providing opportunities for rest and a finer texture of detail through pavement, ground plane differentiation, and then all of those elements that we outlined. So the along 128th, the Kirkland code calls out for a 10-foot clear sidewalk, which is what we've got coming from the east at the Jade. It's just a continuation of that across the entry drive there. I think one of the more challenging right-of-way elements that wraps the whole north and east side is this bike connection that we have. So you can see just above the cursor there, there's a bike ramp and the bike lane that's connecting from the east is going up onto the sidewalk, and then it's going to wrap around the corner and then tie in down, and it's just to the right of where your cursor is actually there. Come down there. So again, that the right of way is serving kind of all of these elements. It's meant to be a place to stop and rest, to reinforce the building entries, but there is also quite a bit going on with that bike lane. And just the active uses that we have to think about here. If we come down to 120th, the standard section is what's reflected here. So there's a 4.5-foot landscape buffer at the curbside. Then we've got that bike lane. And then there is a 10-foot sidewalk, which includes a 6-foot clear zone up against the building. That's that lighter color. And then a 4-foot amenity zone. And so in this northern half, what you see here is trees with tree grates and then some site furnishings interspersed in between there. And then as we go down to the south, that section flips just a little bit. We've got trees, if we start down at the southeast corner, trees within the landscape buffer. And then again, that bike lane, that amenity zone, and then the clear sidewalk. And then what we've got here, and this is really early thinking, is kind of a highlighting of that courtyard opening and that breezeway in the building. So both within the ground plane through special paving, but also through the breaking up of the street trees there that really kind of help break up the mass of the building at the street level and tie in to across the street there. So yeah, that's kind of the high level. Oh, did you want me to talk about that? Yeah, so we've also got a pedestrian connection to the pedestrian path at the Jade up here. So what you see is there's a really significant grade change across this whole site, which you've seen in Yaron and Case have spoken about, but that continues over here on the west as well. So we've got a series of stairs tying up to a sidewalk that then jogs along the property line and hooks up with the pedestrian connection that was provided by the Jade as well.
Thank you, Reese.
Yep.
All right, and I'll continue with some of the views that were requested. And again, high level massing views. But here we are at the north end at 128th Street facing south. On the left, you're seeing scheme two with the tower capping the site at the taller level on the south end. On the right is scheme three where the massing is lower with the tower sitting on the north. Reese was talking about the landscape and the courtyard. We're very excited about this area. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning, trying to pull this building as far away from the neighboring context to allow it to breathe, to get sunlight in there, to distance itself. This can be a really interesting space that will be visible from the neighboring building as well. It is the same in both schemes, as far as the courtyard goes. Then looking from the hillside park, you're seeing that sort of in the context here in the right. Scheme two shows the tower sitting all the way at the south end versus scheme three, where again, the massing has more of a stepping effect up to the north with the tower sitting on the north end. We took the opportunity to drop the 3D model into Google Earth. So please bear with me with the crudeness of these images. They are directly out of Google Earth. We wanted to actually show a real street view. So this is from the transit center looking across to the west with scheme two showing the tower on the south versus scheme three with the lower building on the south. And again, here we did a mixture of both from the 3D model, but as well as Google Earth. So looking north, coming up the hill, again, scheme two, and we showed this in the last meeting where the tower sits on the south end, really towering over the adjacent buildings here at the Totem Lake retail portion. And then on the north where the tower sits and is a much lower height at the 142 mark. And again, we can see that building up towards that higher zoning towards the north. Standing next to the aspect, looking at the south end, you can see the tower, really reaching up on the south portion, much lower with scheme three. And as we get closer, this is the southeast corner at the medical office building where we are carving into the mass at the lower end to provide an entry that is both for the medical office building as well as the residential building. So again, scheme two shows the tower above it and scheme three, the tower to the north. But other than that, the massing at the base is similar. And looking eastward along the access drive, you're seeing the entry sort of mid-block on this access drive into the parking that becomes below grade as it moves into the hill. For both schemes, that is the same.
And just a note here on particular this on this view, we do have the street level view from Google Earth. Google Maps, to be able to share and show what the quality of that space is in between the two buildings. There was some question as to what the north side of those existing buildings is actually like, and so we can share the character of those.
All right, and I'll move on to the views from 405. So again, the scheme two on the left, scheme three, the preferred scheme on the right. This is of course an increment in time as you're moving past in a vehicle, but you could see the taller south tower sitting here with scheme two, blocking a little bit more of the Evergreen Clinic than in scheme three, where the tower is sitting in the opposite direction and on the north and appearing much lower. It's the same, as we're moving past, we took a few more snapshots and place this into Google Earth. And you can see the tower sitting on the south end here, which is much more visible than with scheme three, where it is tucked further to the north up the hill. So the scale really varies. And I think this is an interesting one to really show the increments of scale moving up to the hill, where scheme three seems to be integrated in a much more successful fashion with the zoning. And then just to hit on the street sections. So we're looking at the north-south cut here at 128th. In scheme two, the building is lower, and you're seeing the height across the street at the 160. So again, with scheme three, we think there is a closer tie to the zoning and the incremental change height-wise with the tower sitting on the north. It's the same for the section down at the access driveway on the south, where you're seeing the cut to the medical office building and the residential entry here, as you saw in the 3D images, with the tower reaching far above the Totem Lake apartment development, the Bell at Totem Lake. In scheme three, that scale is lower, again, speaking to that incremental change moving northward. And then as we cut through the section at 120th, this is where the Hillside Park is. Between the two schemes, there's not too much difference right at this cut because the podium sits at the same level. It's in the background where the tower is taller, obviously in scheme three on the north side. But for the rest of that, the section at grade is the same. As Rhys mentioned, there is lots of improvements happening here with the trees, the bike lane, the pedestrian way, as well as in both schemes, setting the building back another 10 feet. And then there was some discussion around opportunities for this building and what it could be. And we had started to think about all the opportunities as we talk about this place and how the massing could be articulated with a little more detail. So again, this is high level really early on, but wanted to show some of the possibilities. There is obviously a huge look at separating a building of this scale and allowing this upper mass on the north to really read distinctly from the rest of the building. And so you can see in, you know, opportunities for changing out materials that we're carving these two blocks apart. The centerpiece, what you're seeing here on the lower levels, is an idea around creating community at the lower levels of the street and engaging the street. So really enhancing the balconies, the outdoor environment, and the accessibility to the outside for the residents. This is a view looking northward with the tower on the north end. And you're seeing here a real articulation between the base and then the building above. So between the medical office building and what eventually becomes parking below grade, and differentiating the residential piece up top. And again, here, I think you can really tell how with an interesting facade with the balconies, splitting the south portion and the north portion and dealing with scale and mass in that sense. And this is a view looking south. And again, showing, you know, the base sort of coming out of the ground and becoming the medical office building. And getting closer to that view that we saw earlier, the opportunities to really open the building up at the corner and at the street level, provide a level of detail to the pedestrian and an experience as we're moving down this hill. And I just wanted to pause here for a second. As we're thinking about the movement down, we feel there are huge opportunities in how to soften this edge, integrate it with the pedestrian realm. There is a cut through in the middle that leads to the courtyard. And the intention here is to carve in and allow access into that area and soften that edge along 120th. And the last view looking south with the building sitting next to the Jade, which is dashed here. Case, you want to hit this one?
Yep, yeah, this is the alternate where we're looking at a two-story medical office building. Here it provides a sort of public gesture. You see there with the greater amount of glazing that might be at the corner, both at the at street level and then up above, providing sort of a more public gesture at that corner, marking the corner, but still also really setting off this building so that you have a defined base, middle, and then top to each of these buildings, which we think is appropriate to scale the building, break down the mass a good bit.
And that so concludes. Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, okay. And with that, we welcome your feedback. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for this lovely presentation. Board members, it's time for your questions. Please do not state your opinions yet, just questions about the presentation we heard. Who would like to start?
I think I can start, Shoshana.
Please, Carlos, go ahead.
hi, everyone. Hi, Mark. I just have one question. Can we go to the slide where you have the plan of the private courtyard, where it shows the medical / tenant courtyard?
This one, Carlos?
It's page 26.
Oh, 26, got it.
Perfect.
There we go.
Thank you. So I was looking at that plan and also noticing the memorandum that we got from City of Kirkland. The memorandum says that open spaces, the section that talks about open spaces says that developments with larger than 50 dwelling units shall provide a publicly accessible space ranging from 1,500 to 2,000 square feet in size. I saw the notes in the plan saying medical office entry court and tenant courtyard. I'm wondering what's your interpretation of the open or publicly accessible space, and if this interior courtyard is going to be open to the public or is it going to be closed?
Yeah, so thanks for that. If you actually go back to the previous slide as well, we think that given the challenges of the site, and we think that they're pretty significant given the grade change that occurs, given the types of developments that are occurring on the top and on the bottom, that having publicly accessible open space at multiple locations is really an appropriate response here, because you're going to have a very different condition at the upper side and at the middle and at the lower. So what we're looking at is a certain amount of public open space at the north, setting the building back and providing a sort of a welcoming gesture at the front door. And that's what Reese walked you through a little bit there. And then midway down through on this one, we do very much look at that courtyard as being a part of that publicly accessible open space. It is sort of the pause mid-block that is spoken to in the guidelines, and Reese mentioned that a little bit as well. You know, places to sit, places to for respite, and mid block that provides a portion of that. So yes, we are. This is still sort of early days for how that landscape and hardscape would come together, but we do see at least portions of that area being accessible to the public as part of that requirement for publicly accessible open space.
So I guess of that, just to make it short, do you foresee that any areas within the interior courtyard are going to be for public, or it's going to be more of the adjacent areas to the building that are accessible to the sidewalk or to the sidewalk level, which are going to be counted into the publicly accessible areas?
I think to make the requirement, to meet the requirement of the code, we are going to need to have a portion of that courtyard open. It's something that we're still working through as the massing of the building gets refined. But I think given the aggregate requirement of between 1,500 and 2,000 square feet, we would need to have more than just that northern portion.
Thank you.
Randall, you're next on my screen. Do you have any questions?
Quick question, kind of a theoretical question, I guess. As we look at the two options here, option two and option three, I'm going to raise a question. Did you look at two towers of more or less equal height? I mean, we've got two options here where one, the south side is tall, the north side is shorter, and then we take it and reverse that. Did you look at what happens if you were to run both towers up to the maximum or up to your maximum height? And there's a kind of a leading question, but I'm curious, did you look at that?
We did look very briefly at maxing those towers out. At the north, it's, you know, it technically goes up to about 140 feet given the average grade. And at the south, right, it's 180, as you're seeing right there. So we did look at that together with the owner. Didn't think that was the right thing for the project for a couple of different reasons. We did look really early on, although we don't have that option here to share with you, at balancing those towers out. It also didn't quite feel right, given, you know, given the size of the project and how it laid out on the site.
Randall, just to add to that, you know, with multiple towers and increasing, you know, heights in two areas, it also affects the usefulness of the roof area, the podium area. So there's a greater opportunity, especially in this scheme three, to really enhance the top of the building here because of the there's less shadow falling onto the landscaping here, and make this a very active rooftop.
Okay, I've got some comments that I'll take into the discussion with the board. Let me move into the board, but I'm just curious if you had looked at that and what may have kicked that out of contention, like you're saying, that rooftop area there and that type of thing. And so I was just curious if that had been explored. I assume it was, but I'm just curious.
I mean, ultimately we thought it was a better relationship. We are aware of our relationship to the Jade. And one of the things that we are doing as a way to provide, you know, light and air is through that courtyard. We thought that the lower building up the south would be the better way to respond, you know, both for them and then for occupants of the courtyard in between.
That answers my question.
Yeah.
And that's all I have. The other question is access to the parking garage is off of the easement coming out from the mall on the south side of the building going in at that location, but then also coming off of 128th, correct?
Correct.
And so that comes in and then drops in underneath at the top and goes in. And so then there's really a triangular courtyard there in the crotch of the L that then produces kind of your major entry, correct? Or where is the major entry to the residential towers?
the pedestrian entry will be at the north where that triangle is. And that will be the main sort of publicly celebrated entry for the residents. And you see that a little bit in sort of those initial renderings that we provided. At the southeast corner, there's another one that would accommodate both pedestrian visitors and people who are dropped off at the medical office building, but then residents who frankly want to use an elevator as a bit of a hill climb, who can come in and out of that as they're coming back from some time, getting a coffee or whatever they might be doing to the south.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes my questions.
Thank you.
Brad, you're next. Do you have any questions?
Well, Randall took mine about the two tower heights. I suppose I'm also curious, looking at this image, what is the tower setback between the Swift and the Jade? Do we know that? I know it's not going to really change much between option two and option three, but what is that distance? And also specifically at that southeastern corner of the site where they're really getting, or southwestern corner of the site, where they're really getting close together.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kate.
Go ahead.
Brad, great questions. As I mentioned before, we've tried to move the building as far to the east as possible. So we are here at this pinch point, we are at around 42 feet. It then increases to 72 feet as the Jade is inset for, the longest part of their facade here, where we're getting into the, this little angular piece, we're around 52 feet. And then you noted this pinch point here, which is about 26 and a half feet. Just in this location, from this face of the Jade to the inside corner, we're at in the realm of about 110 feet, so quite a distance away here.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Adam?
I actually didn't have any other questions that Randall didn't ask. The two towers was mine. So I think they've all been answered for me.
Perfect. So Ting, it's you now.
I hate to say the same thing. Just to reinforce that question, actually, I read it, that's from the design guidelines, a special consideration for Totem Lake TL1. Which is the design guidelines recommends, to have taller, skinnier tower and more compact plates, because that creates a less perceived, smaller building when skinnier and taller. So I'm curious at that too, and why that was ruled out. My other question is, After you reached the 80 foot, right, is the floor plate all maxed out to 10,000 square feet in scheme three?
Correct.
Yes.
So that's the maximize?
Yep.
I don't have more questions other than this.
Okay. I didn't see Amy. Is Amy with us tonight?
She's not here tonight, Shoshana.
Okay, she's not here. Then I guess I will ask my question, and it's just more clarification, as of course I was thinking about making the height equal as well. But it's about the public plaza. And the question is how it connects to the Jade at all, how it relates to the Jade building.
So there are a couple things to note there. There is between the Jade and along that diagonal between the Jade and the courtyard, there is a grade difference that we have to make up. And we're looking at various forms in there. You can see that sort of green element. that would help to mediate the height difference. So physically coming down at that location is not really a possibility. It's more so, you know, bringing light and air down there. There are a couple of different ways, though. Certainly coming down from the north, there is a driveway. We don't necessarily recommend that as the primary way to come down into that area, but it certainly is possible. And the second would be through the connection that exists at the southeast corner. You know, Reese can certainly talk more about how that all works. But that is very much meant to be sort of infrastructural for you know, climbing that hill. There's a required continuation of the pathway adjacent to the Jade, and we really think that that's a way that, you know, that can connect.
So can you really use that space? Sorry, that's my second question. So
Yes, Reese, do you want to talk a little bit about what's
planned?
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you say, can you use that space, are you talking about the southwest or within the courtyard there?
I am talking more about the southeast, I think. The southwest, sorry, yes. And I'm asking how do you envision these spaces connect, starting with the public plaza entryway from the west all the way to the connection to the Jade on the southwest? Because there is a grade, right? There is a height difference there. And there is also the space is becoming narrower and wider. And I feel like this triangle there cannot really be used for recreation. Maybe I'm wrong. So I'm trying to figure out what's your vision about that part of the building.
So maybe if we start over on the east side, the connection to the right-of-way, I think what Jeroen had pointed out was the intent for there to be connection. I think the form that takes is still being studied, and it's related to the building kind of below grade and all the other elements there. So I think that's TBD. We've got a very steep slope along 120th. That we're going to have to mitigate. So I think most likely there will be some sort of connection a bit north of where the courtyard opening is. But then once you get in there, everything that's shown in this plan for the courtyard was really a first pass. And I think we're getting feedback and gonna be revising some of this. It's a substantial space that I think will provide a number of amenities for the residents. Of the building and for the medical office building. So I think as far as fitting things in there, there's a lot of opportunity. It's kind of to be refined. And then the connection at the southwest, basically the condition is, you know, we could call it more or less flat along the north property line, that diagonal property line from the courtyard to the connection at the Jade at the far west. That's relatively flat area. And then that stair connection is really mitigating that hill climb down to the south there. The rest of the landscape elements that you see in there are really intended to be more passive, almost, it's a 3-to-1 slope. So it's just gonna be some pathways and some retaining walls or retaining seats. And that's kind of the intent for that. Does that help?
A little bit, yes. I am. So the plaza would be shared for the public and the residents, right? The intention of the plaza.
Shoshana, so there's an element that we're exploring at the mid-block connection. There would be a public-private area that is not intended to continue to the west and then connect over into the southwest plaza. I just want to make sure that that's
clear. Yeah.
There's a midpoint kind of reprieve along the hillside as you're climbing up or down the hill that would be welcoming for everybody. But then further west, that becomes a private element. it is not intended to connect the Jade, as we don't have any, you know, rights or reason to then invite ourselves across the street or across the property boundary. But on the north-south boundary, on the west side of the Jade, they have improved a public pathway that we're picking up and continuing it along the southwest side of our property.
Okay, so the Jade is on the other side of where your cursor is, just to make sure that I understand. Yes,
that's the Jade. Yeah, and that, that pathway that Mark is referring to is to the left of that on the
to the west. Okay. In conjunction with the Jade improvements, they provided a north-south pedestrian connection, and per the underlying zoning, we're to pick that up and continue it south to the termination of our southern boundary.
Okay. I think I have a better picture now. Thank you very much. Do we have any follow-up questions from anyone? Do we have members of the audience that have questions or would like to speak
tonight? Yeah, so Shoshana, we do have 9 attendees. And for those that are attendees, if you would like to speak, please raise your hand, and we have someone that will unmute you. When you do speak, please state your name and your email address, and if you can also spell out your email address, that would be very helpful. And it looks like we have Zoe up first.
Hey everyone, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Zoe. My email address is xinyuh1213@gmail.com. So I'm currently a Jade resident, so I just moved into Jade. And my major concern for this new project is that the big shadow that the new building will cast on Jade. So I have already read through the design document you guys put online. So it shows that the distance between Jade and the new building is much smaller than the distance between the Jade and the Bower. But the Jade and Bower are of the similar height, but the height of the new building is more than like the twice of Jade. That means the sunlight will be like severely blocked for both the south and east facing Jade units, which has already been shown in the previous shadow analysis. It shows that the south and east facing Jade units will be like immersed in like shadows almost all year round. And that is affecting like 50% of the total units of Jade. So which is a pretty large number of the residents, and we cannot just like ignore this problem. So even though in the preferred scheme 3, which casts the least amount of shadow, it still has a lot. So I can only say the scheme 3 is better than the worst, which like a scheme 1 or 2, but I cannot agree it is a good option. So if the building is bringing such a big lightning issue to the surrounding neighborhoods, and the problem cannot be solved by like alternating the mass and options, or it is not possible to further like increase the distance between the new building and the Jade, I would say like the only option like to solve this problem is to reduce the height of the tower. And that's it. That's my comment for it.
Is there anyone else in the attendees that would like to provide comment?
Pardon
me. Please raise your hand. Shoshana, so I don't, well, hold on. Someone just raised their hand. It's Rui.
Hey guys, my name is Ray, and my email address is rzhu0848@gmail.com. I am also a resident in Jade, and yeah, I would say my major concern is the sidewalk you just mentioned. And based on the picture provided to us, it is really narrow, you know, compared to the sidewalk between Jade and Bower. And you know, the narrow sidewalk caused a problem, you know, as the previous person just said, is the sunlight problem. You know, there's like, just as she said, more than or around 50% of residents in Jade that will be affected. And, you know, I saw the effort you made. You know, you said you move the building as far as you can, but, you know, the sidewalk is too narrow. And I would say to lower the height is a good option. And yeah, just please concern about the Jade residents. You know, your suggestion of plan three isn't attractive enough to me. And I will say there's a lot of residents in Jade that has the same concern, but you know, they're just in the progress of moving in and they might not aware of this meeting. So yeah, that's my suggestion. Thanks.
Next, we have Hasib. Hello, Hasib, are you on?
Oh, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I also, so I'm Hasib. I am also in Jade.
You, email. Oh yeah, go, sorry. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, my email is hsyedp@gmail.com. And yeah, so I live in Jade, facing the south side, and I also had similar concerns. Pretty much all the points were already said, but I just wanted to put it on record there.
Thank you. Next, we have Jane. Sorry, there's a delay, it seems.
Got it. Do you hear me now? Sorry. Yes, I'm in unit 618 and my daughter is in 617. So up at the top at the very
Jane, it looks like you muted yourself.
It just went on blue on mute. So yeah.
Okay, you're back.
I'm back. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So I'll start from the beginning. I'm so sorry. Yes. So I'm at 618, and my daughter is at 617. So we're up at the top corner of that very southeast corner. I'm sure this is accidental in terms of the delay of the people moving into J to the residents moving, people most affected by the building design. But the point of the matter is that people are just moving in. They're barely able to get themselves oriented, and something that affects their future is being decided. I wondered what opportunities Jade residents will have that will make any difference in anything that proceeds in the future for the planning. How will those of us once oriented and ready, unpacked and ready to be able to speak, could they have any influence in the future? Or is it really, really almost going to fait accompli now?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So Jane, if you could also provide your email, please, that'd be helpful.
Yes, JABOYAJIAN@hotmail.com.
Thank you. And Aoife, do you want to talk a little bit about the process, please? Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Hi, Jane. So if you saw my presentation, I had a process slide which talked about this being the first step in the design review process at the conceptual design conference. The second step is a series of design response conferences. And similar to this one, they all have public comment and an opportunity for people to comment. And what's different about the design response conference is that a notice will be placed on the site, both on the 128th Street side and on the 120th, notifying everybody about these meetings. And so you'll be able to provide comments to me, to the board, and attend these meetings and provide comments that way also. And it's also noticed on the meetings are noticed on our website as well.
So yes, just to add on, so there will be opportunity for public comment. The board will eventually make a decision on the proposal, so that we're not quite at that stage just yet. And the other opportunity for public comment will be through the environmental review process, so the SEPA process. There will also be opportunity to comment, and it's actually staff would make the decision on that when we would also send notice to interested parties. So is there anyone else in the attendees list that would like to speak? Okay, Shoshana, so I'm not seeing anybody, so I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, so thank you everyone for raising your concerns. And I think it's time to move on to deliberation. Who would like to start?
I'll jump in. This is Randall. And the rest of the board, I think several of you at least, if not maybe all of you, kind of did what I did, is we went back and started to look at some of the, just refresh my memory on some of the things that we're looking at and what the board's responsibilities are. And there's two things that I want to bring up. And in the Kirkland Design Guidelines, item 3 on the list of special architectural requirements placed on and that is architectural scale. It talks about requirements direct large buildings to fit more comfortably with neighboring development. You know, this example employs building setbacks, decks, curved surfaces, recessed entries to reduce appearance of building massing. And the issue that I'm really addressing is the building massing. And then if you go down, or if you go on into the design guidelines and you go to the Totem Lake Business District core and you drop down to the mixed use area TL1, first comment or first statement there is break up the mass of larger buildings through techniques such as towers over podiums to create a varied building footprint and the perception of smaller overall building mass. Now, when I look at the massing of this particular building, and you know, last time 2 weeks ago, I was looking at it and going like, okay, we've got really whichever tower is built or how this is built, it is now going to be the tallest building in the city of Kirkland. And so we're dealing with really a special project here and something that, yeah, in the future, something may go taller. That always happens. But as we look at this and I try to get my arms around it, and I look at this and saying, okay, you know, the larger building needs to be and take into account its environment that it's setting into, you know, whether it's along the street and this type of thing. And so that's where as I struggled with this over the last week is I've looked at it and said, well, if we're going to 160 feet or whatever that dimension is, or if a tower in the south could go 180, the one thing that I see here is that when you look at scheme three, you've got the 60-foot separation, which is about a seven-story chunk in there, and then you've got, or six stories, and then you got the south tower that's six or seven stories, and that. But as you come up 120th, or as you go down 120th, that all that really is a big block mass, and to me. And it's nothing more than really when you go to the other buildings that are along to the west of Jade, you know, along 128th, you've got just large masses that are what, six stories, six over one or whatever in there. And so I look at this and I'm going like, okay, is there an opportunity here to really look at this? And you take that south, leave the north building 16 stories or the 15 stories, 160 feet. You take that south tower, if it's like a piece of cake, cut the west half of it off and stack it on top of the east half, and create two towers. It gives you a platform that there's a triangular court that's in the crotch of the L of this building that's in between the Jade and the entry and this breezeway that goes underneath. But if you look at that triangular court, it gets sunlight maybe 60 days out of the year. During the summer, when you get a far west sun, that's somewhat to the north, that's going to pick that up. And so majority of that time, if this is a usable courtyard with the building or anything like that, you know, that's when you're going to get sun. And so I'm looking at it and saying, as I look at this, I said, okay, why not go with two towers and build this to, you know, both of them to 180, 160, whatever they may be. But then you open up the south end of the Jade. You take a lot of the apartments that are in the south tower of this particular complex and you put them up in a higher elevation. And they aren't looking into the side of the backside of the shopping mall and across, you know, and directly across the roof line of the shopping mall. It's a linear building, but maybe you take this tower and you turn it 60 degrees, 45 degrees, whatever, and do, you know, play with it some and do some things with it. But then you keep the west side of this, the courtyard for this particular project. You actually have over the top of the medical office building, you have a lot more deck space that's actually in an area that when you look at the buildable charts that they have given us here, that nothing's really going to be built to the west of this. So you've got a sunny area during majority of the year, if there is sun, and so you're really taking it and that, because when you look at the perspective of coming up the in between on 120th, and you come along the development there where you can turn into the Totem Lake Mall area, and I'm probably not using the right terminology. I've lived up in this area, and it's Totem Lake Mall to me since 1979. So, but as you come up 120th and then you turn the corner, about a 45 degree corner, and you head up the hill, you're in a really tight canyon perspective to begin with. And architecturally, you've already closed down that viewpoint. You've already closed in on that. And so coming up to where there may be a tower that accentuates the end of that, I think there's some things that can be done there that really accentuate that. And you've got the medical office building podium that this is setting on. And then you've got a tower sitting at that is kind of a terminus of that street. But as you turn, you're coming up and you've got another tall tower that you've got something in between. And so being able to, fit the neighborhood, reducing, the appearance of the massing and that, and fit more comfortably with the neighborhood is really, as I look at this, it just, as it's showing here now, it really just doesn't feel good. And it's just the massing of it, and that just takes over. And I think, as Tang was noting, that getting something maybe skinnier and taller in there. And I mean, the motif that you're using on some of the additional design work that you've done, I'm liking that. It seems to be glass and light and airy and that type of thing. And I think if you did that it would reduce that massing. But the critical mass here is that when it's a continuous mass, it just keeps going. And I just feel that south building, I would look at it that it needs to go higher on the east end and lower on the west end to get much more afternoon light and all year round in between the Jade and this particular project. And I think it would probably be more usable space. That's basically my comments at this point in time. I'd love to hear the rest of the board's comments.
Thanks, Randall. Who's ready to go in next? Adam?
Sure. Yeah, I'll jump in. I do understand Randall's comments about potentially shifting some of the massing of the towers. I do think that the applicant's presentation showing was extremely helpful, showing site sections, which included adjacent zoning allowable heights, and the stepping down of how those adjacent zonings from across the street to the north and down to Totem Lake to the south, how it changes and steps down. They're kind of helpful in explaining, the possibilities of why that tower makes sense there rather than undulating it down and back up. It seemed to soften the curve going down. I do recognize both in my own practice and with the project we have to review here, difficulty in designing for the environment and the surrounding buildings that exist and also the ones to be. We've got dozens of projects and properties around here that are nowhere near the highest and best use they can be. They're going to be taller. And so, you know, it's a burden on us, and it's difficult for us to say, you know, this sticks out like a sore thumb now, and it could, in 25 years, this could be the runt. So, you know, that's something we have to consider also, you know, that the future aspect of it. And that is the zoning code. Really the height, and I guess I'll call it the destiny of a lot of these properties that are surrounding, was determined when that zoning code was written. So, you know, it's, I think I would actually say, to a certain degree, it's, you know, I'm not sure where we weighed it between the existing smaller buildings. These could be property owners that have owned these for decades. And, you know, they just, the numbers still make sense to them. And once something happens that they decide to sell it, those are going to be jumping up to these heights too. We have to be realistic about that. So I understand Randall's position, but I have a different opinion and a viewpoint. I think the tower towards the north side, really that it respects the zoning and the zoning possibilities. You know, and to me, it makes sense. The views from Totem Lake, with that kind of being a shining example at the end of it, I think it makes sense. You know, tying in the two zonings. You know, I know there was talk about Evergreen Health being the tallest building up there and being iconic. I don't think it's iconic because it's good looking or beautiful. I think it's iconic just because it's big. So I don't think you know, any tower that's proposed on this property has to play second fiddle to that just because it's there. So I don't find that very important, to be honest. So, you know, I was quite satisfied with the presentation and the massing, to be honest. That's all I got.
Okay, Ting? Are you ready? Do you have something to say?
Just a little bit to say. Yeah, well, I want to thank the applicant. You know, this is much more detail and the information than the first round. This is already the second round. And I really appreciate all of this detailed explanation, especially on the shadow study. You even picked out a date to show us what to expect, right? And then you're not trying to cover anything. It's development, it's urban, it's going to be dense. And then we are transparent about the shadow impact. So I appreciate that. I do wish the buildings can be skinnier, taller. I feel like you can go, you know, become an icon building in this area and then have your own unique character, being the tallest one here, whatever, since zoning allows. I heard the adjacent Jade residents' concerns. I do share some of their concerns too. And I want to point out, besides the daylight impact, in the future proposal, you might want to consider the privacy toward their end as well, with the building being kind of close to that west side and then much taller than them. There will be a lot of concerns to privacy as well. Overall, I like scheme three. I understand if you just put out two tall buildings here, there might be a different response, might be running bold. And since 120 is sloping, has such an elevation drop, 40 feet, I think it's respect to the topography. As the topo drops, the building steps down. To me, that's natural and appropriate. I think there's a lot of potential in the future design to move forward with the scheme three, to consider some setbacks, balconies, and then some shading of the building to better fit, you know, to better respect the adjacent buildings. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Tink. Brad, you look ready.
Yes. You know, I was going to say I was also similar with Ting, very happy with this level of presentation because this is going to be such a large building. You know, this extra level of detail, I think, is needed, you know, for us to properly wrap our heads around what they're proposing. And if you look at the letter of the design code, I think they are doing a lot to break up the massing, you know, by utilizing two towers, sitting on a podium that's more designed for human scale. They're putting in a breeze, you know, way. Their shadow studies show that, of course, it's going to cast a large shadow, but actually it might, you know, their proposed design three, which is their preferred option, has the least effect. But I, you know, I do think that Randall makes some salient points that, you know, perhaps we can push them further to help break up some of this mass. You know, as Ting mentioned, you know, trying to get some, asking for some setbacks at a higher level, maybe at a certain point, making the tower on the north side skinnier, but a little taller, you know. Looking at some of their materiality, which I know is getting ahead of you know, the game right now, but maybe in future design concepts, we work with them like we did with Kirkland Urban. We worked a lot with different kind of styles of facade and glazing and panels to help make the mass not just seem so flat. You know, right now they have kind of are indicating a simple patterning in some of the windows and a few kind of strategic window shades or balconies. Maybe we push them to, you know, do something a little bit more dramatic or bold to help break that upper mass up a little bit. But bottom line is, I think their general overall concept of a lower south end and a higher north end tower, I'm comfortable moving forward with. But maybe this final exact outline, if you want to call it that, of the building, maybe that's not in its final iteration yet. And maybe that's where the board, you know, can really earn its pay, so to speak, with helping break up this mass and make it feel, you know, much more friendly to the average Kirklander.
Thank you, Brad. Carlos.
Yes. So I, by taking a look at the information that the applicant provided, I believe that the solar studies are really setting kind of like the decision, or at least my decision on what's kind of like the option that is preferred. I've heard comments from the audience talking about shadows being casted to the building, and I guess that having the same process that Randall did and taking a look at the guidelines, one of the items mentions that the modulation of the building should intend to minimize shade and shadow impacts. Now, taking a look at these elements, I believe that option three is the one that makes the least impact to the adjacent building, that is Jade. However, I'll invite the applicant to just reconsider maybe adjusting the south tower, as just it'd be a better solution to provide some light going into the courtyard, as well as providing more light to the adjacent building. I looking at the plan that shows the maximum allowable height for the adjacent properties, it seems that the east property across 120 is not intended to be taller as the other one. So maybe pushing the building towards that side and staggering the levels might be a solution that will relieve Jade from having that much shadow casted into their facade. But in general, option three is the one that I'm leaning more forward to. And also noticing that the applicant will need to pay special attention to 120th Avenue, since it's a long street facing the sidewalk, and it might cause more blank wall issues in the future, as well as just having the connection with the pedestrians activating the space, instead of just being a long street, maybe bringing some modulation that will activate or make the spaces more interesting for pedestrian activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. In my perspective, first of all, I would like to thank the applicant for the elaborated studies of the pedestrian experience, as well as the shadow that the pedestrians and the neighbors are going to experience. I think it really helped us looking at the schemes in a different way. I also want to acknowledge that there were no requests for any variants or any other things to help that we should have considered in return of doing something different. So I totally respect that, and if my language was not clear, I'm truly sorry, but I think you understood what I meant to say. I do, however, although I am leaning to agree with scheme three as the scheme that makes most sense for that area, I am a little concerned about the South Tower, especially the southwest corner of it. And it's not only because of the Jade residents, but it's also because of the Swift residents, that they will experience, I believe, the same issues as the Jade in terms of shadow and in terms of, like Ting said, privacy. So this kind of works both ways. So although I see, and I agree with Adam saying that this is the future and it is what it is and we cannot do much about it, but I think that this will be the first building of its kind in that zone. And I think that I would like to see, or just like Randall mentioned with the zoning, a little bit more of respect to its neighboring buildings in terms of privacy and in terms of shadow. At the same time, I like the possibilities that you have shown about how you're going to mitigate this kind of awkward shape. So I'm very curious to see how you pursue that further. And this is all I have to say. And if someone has a follow-up comment or question, please come forward. And if not, I will let Aoife summarize or ask or comment.
Yeah, well, that sounds like we have potentially a path forward. So let me scroll up. It sounds like we have that the board is okaying of the applicant to proceed to the design response conference with preferred option three. That's what I've heard from your comments, but what we, and if that's true, we then need to talk about the items we want to see, the items the board would like to see the applicant provide in the design response conference packet. I have a basic list here, and I can go through it, and then if anybody wants to add on to it with particulars. So we would typically require a 3D rendered model with the ability to walk through and around the site, detailed elevations showing the context with adjacent buildings, and those elevations should also be dimensioned. Building sections also with dimensions, fenestration options, material samples, and then a landscape plan. Are there anything in particular that you'd like to add to that list for Design Response Conference?
Just to add that the exterior landscape plan should include exterior lighting as well.
Yeah. Got it.
And do we know what the provisions are for public art for this site?
I don't off the top of my head.
I know that, I think it's the Bowery, that basically the building on the opposite corner of the block, you know, was required to have some sort of public art. I wasn't sure if there's anything like that for right here.
Brad, I don't think there's any requirement. It is an option because I think in the regulations and guidelines, it talks about as you design public plazas, art is one of the items that can be included. So if the board would want to see something like that, I think it's more of a, you know, applicant, can you explore how you can incorporate art in the plaza design?
And John, regarding that, I guess that is it fair to ask the applicant to specify the public plaza areas that they are required to provide?
Like an enlarged plan to show the access for the courtyard. If that's possible, that's something I would like to see as well.
So I'm hearing that we'll have a detailed plan on the public plaza that's enlarged, so we can see access thing. And then I think, Carlos, you're mentioning about the publicly accessible open space. That's one of the special Correct. Regulations for the height. So we need to see compliance there. Of course, the board has the authority to review that in location and size. So we'll get a detailed plan on that as well.
I think it's better to kind of have the, if possible, the entire public plaza leading to the courtyard. I mean, if we can have kind of a 3D rendering of that experience, because there are a lot of different elements there. So it's public and residential, it's height difference, it's neighboring with the buildings, it's triangle. So if we could get kind of a better vision of that, that would be great.
Also, we usually talk about the all possible blank walls. You know, since you're designing, you can just identify those, the treatments for those. That probably will save some discussions.
Got it. Anything else?
I have a general question, Shoshana. Maybe you can help direct with the board. Given that I think the majority of the board is okay with Scheme 3, that's fine. I think that's clear. But there were some discussion in terms of a general approach of massing being lower on the south, higher on the north, or taller on the north. And paying respects to Jade, to the west and shadow impacts as it relates to, you know, the public spaces, the courtyard, et cetera. So I guess the clarification would be to what extent or what kind of, you know, what would you like the applicant to explore in terms of that approach? Because I heard things thrown out like setbacks and maybe orientation of the building and certain things. So I just want to see if the board can discuss a little bit about that so the applicant has better direction.
Thank you, John. That's a very meaningful addition. So I think we're all comfortable with scheme three if these are the only options, but we would like to see a little bit, some of us at least would like to see a little bit of further research. Would anyone like to start with comments?
This Randall, I'm going to jump back in here and just say with the board, I am not at all comfortable with scheme three because I feel it does not take into account its surrounding properties and developments. And Jade is specifically, but when you get into some other areas and then you look at how this project looks at the backside of Total Mall and this type of thing. And so, I mean, you're making a generality that, you know, most of us who are all are looking at scheme three. And when we're presented two schemes and yeah, you got to pick A or B, is it a matter that we're picking A or B, or are we giving the applicants some guidance to say that there may be another way to look at this? Because I do not, this is where I feel is I do not feel, you know, when you look at it and you look around the site and you say, yeah, the Jade and the other buildings to the west of it could all go to 160 feet. They're 50 to 60 year buildings. That's not going to happen in our lifetime. And across the street, they can't go to 160 feet except for 10,000 square foot footprints. And there's a lot of area in that area. And so you're going to get articulated, you know, podium type designs with towers and this type of thing, or a skinny tower of 10,000 square foot going up in that. And so there's a variety of things architecturally that can be done. And so I just want this, you know, just to make sure that I'm heard here is that you're saying that, well, yeah, move forward with scheme three. I would like the applicant to actually reconsider that and take a look at it and see, you know, if a double tower, you know, yeah, how it articulates down the hillside, most people aren't even going to notice that. But, you know, is a double tower a possibility that really, because, you know, if you take that tower and you turn it 45 degrees, you don't have a north-facing wall. Higher rents. If you take this and you do go higher, you aren't looking into the backside of another building for three or four stories of that other building. And it's got to be economics there. And I know the development side of it and that type of thing and those issues. So I'm just presenting that to just say, yep, we're done, move forward with scheme three. I don't accept that. I have a hard time with that. I just want to make sure the rest of the board understands that I'm not in favor of that. I think there's a better option.
Okay, thanks, Randall. Would anyone else like to add?
Shoshana. I also spoke about that and kind of suggesting the applicant if they would be able to just review at least the South Tower and see if there are any opportunities now that we have the solar shade shadow studies to see if there's an opportunity to alter the massing of the South Tower to see if that can actually provide some benefit to the existing buildings. Jade is a fairly new building, so I agree with Randall. I don't think that they are going to like increase the height of that building once this is built. It's going to take them a while just to do that. And maybe this is one of those occasions where some further massing studies of at least the south tower can be provided in order for us to have a special consideration due to the uniqueness of this site. So just to summarize it, I believe that there might be some opportunity that the applicant can produce. And now that we have the solar studies, it seems that this would be really helpful as well to us if there's an opportunity to provide that to understand what are the implications or what are the design opportunities.
Mark, I see that you want to speak.
Yes, thank you very much. So, you know, we certainly have looked into building 260-foot towers, you know, to minimize the scale of these buildings above 80 feet. The planning department has very explicitly stated that no building footprint above 80 feet is to exceed 10,000 square feet. And I believe that that isn't just an arbitrary number. They appreciate the fact that, you know, with elevator service and egress stairwells, and then corridors, et cetera, you know, there are only certain amount of livable area within these areas. And honestly, 10,000 feet is about the perfect and right sized to support buildings above 80 feet. And, you know, we looked at two buildings, both 182 feet on the south and 140 on the north. And we didn't believe that that was within scale of the neighborhood. You know, there are developers out there who would not have left a single inch of developable area on this property. We work and live in these neighborhoods. We want to be proud of what we've done. We want to respect our neighbors. We want to stand in front of this building and, you know, celebrate it and watch other people celebrate it. We're not looking to shade out everybody in the world. And we thought doing the Northern Tower was the most appropriate and, you know, the right thing to do. I think this would be a lot different conversation if the Bower went up to 160 feet. They also could have gone and done two 160 foot towers. You know, there are buildings, there are properties from yesterday. And I don't believe it's appropriate to have yesterday's development govern tomorrow's future. We're talking about some very basic comprehensive elements within the city that, you know, supported the development of these 160 foot sites. Affordable housing is the very preeminent one. And that is one of the reasons that there have been urban growth areas like Totem Lake that have been intensely zoned for intensive uses. Proximity to employment, proximity to transportation, those all support this. And frankly, I think although that we're the first of its kind, we're certainly not the last, and it's going to be happening in very rapid succession. So if you guys want to see two towers, you know, and the shadow study, we're happy to do it. But if we have to do two towers, we're not going to just do two, one of course, it's going to go, you know, be a great double tower scenario. But again, this project works for us with the Northern Tower only. So sounded like everybody's pretty well on board with that. And if there's anything else that I could say this evening or other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So I think that everyone, except maybe Randall, was more or less comfortable with scheme number three, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the same time, we would like to see some further research for the South Tower, whether where it's facing, whether it's the height of the tower, but something, I feel like something in the South Tower doesn't work for the majority of the board members. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Did I get it right? So I don't see any further comments. So can we ask for further research of the Southern Tower at this stage? John, Aoife?
Yeah. Before I comment, Shoshana, I think Case has his hand raised.
Yeah, I'm looking for clarification because in the base scheme where we have one story of MOB, we don't really have a tower. We've got the extension of the podium with then one level above it. So I want to ask the question, are we talking in the base scheme with one MOB, is the request to look at the shape of the south podium?
Would you mind sharing your screen so we can see it?
Yeah.
What you're asking?
Yeah, I was gonna say, Case, I'm looking at page 38, but I think any east facing elevation would do to demonstrate what you're talking about.
In the MO, you know, you're in if you pull that up. I mean, in the alternate, and we can take a look at that a little bit more in the rendering, I can see that becomes a little bit more of a tower. I just want to clarify if we're talking about and down at the south.
Let me make a comment. No, yeah. The podium is not at all in question. It's really, if you go back to that last slide that you just had there, where you had the south side, and you look at this and you look at the west end of that, I guess you call it a tower. It's what, 6 stories? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stories, 8 stories. And I'm just looking at it and saying, gee, if you cut that off and just put it on top of the east end, yeah, you're going to have 2 towers. And I know Mark has said you've studied the 2-tower deal. And I think, you know, yeah, and you're probably going like, I'm kind of wacko because 2 weeks ago I was looking at this going like, wow, 160 feet in this particular location. But once we talked through it and once we looked at it, and I even spent a lot more time out there, you know, looking at this, this becomes a pivot point. When you look at all the different 160 foot elevations and this type of thing and how it ties to the Totem Lake Mall down below and the retail and that type of thing, this really does become a pivot point. And this intersection is a pivot point and this project is a pivot point. And so putting in a, you know, a 6/1 or whatever, a Jade type or and our those types really wouldn't, and putting a massive facility and utilizing every square inch of the property like you've noted that some developers would do. Yeah, that would be, yeah, it'd be the same height as the one next door and yeah, it just moved forward. But I just think that there's opportunity here, yeah, with two towers to really make it work, but then also be cognizant of the Jade and other, you know, other properties next to you. And that's all I'm asking. Is as you look at it that way, and that's why I point blank say, yeah, move forward with scheme 3. I would just like to see the study of, you know, a second, you know, a higher tower on that south end, a skinnier, higher tower, and go on, because this isn't a simple or a, you know, straightforward project. It's a massive project for Kirkland and for what we've looked at, and we just want to make sure, I don't want to delay anything, but I just want to make sure we're getting it. You know, we're seeing what there is and we're getting what we feel is the right thing to do.
Yes,
back to you, Shoshana.
I think Case wants to say something more.
Yeah, I just, really, I appreciate that. I want to go back, Shoshana, to your comment about the shaping of the South Tower. What I take from your comment, and I'm just looking for clarification so that when we leave here, we've got clarity on what the board is looking for. In the scheme that you're looking at, or the image that you're looking at on the screen right now, the south area is, the south portion is the same height as the remainder of the podium, except that it has one more floor on the top, one 10,000 square foot floor plate on the top of that.
Mm-hmm.
What I think you're saying is that southern portion of the podium, the L that is oriented east-west, can we do anything with that portion of it? What I don't think you're saying is consider that as a separate tower. Is that correct?
Well, I am. I don't necessarily see that as a tower or not a tower. Maybe I don't understand what you're asking exactly, but I would like to see that maybe the east to west length maybe shorter and taller, and skinnier and taller, just to have a little bit more space. But I'm talking about the residential portion of it, just to see a little bit more how it correlates to the Jade building. So it's pretty much what Randall is asking.
Case, I think the question is as far as the podium, I have no problem with the size and the footprint of the podium going all the way to the west where it goes and how that sets in there and that. But I think we see an opportunity that if you were, as Sean is saying, if you take that east-west direction, there's kind of three sections here. There's the north tower, there's that center connector section, and then there's what we seem to be calling the south tower. And I'm just saying that on that south tower is pull it back from the west side, leave it on top of the podium and leave the podium the same size and that type of thing, but just increase the height of that, but go back to that 10,000 square foot plate. As Mark was saying, seems to be ideal for that if it is. And I know that the economics are important to this. And so I recognize that. And so, just raising that up, and it may give you a platform on top of that podium on the west side that's either more usable outdoor space or something of that order. That's all I'm asking for, if that makes sense.
Randall, just so we're all confirmed, Scheme 3, with potentially taking 50%-ish of the western portion of the southern and flipping it over on top of the southeast corner.
You got it. And the podium, the correct. Two-story podium, understood. The MLP stays the same.
The podium can stay, yes.
So with that, can we potentially, I took a lot of great notes with respect to IFA's kind of ideas, and then landscaping plans, public arts, public plazas, some 3D renderings. Ting mentioned identifying blank walls. Can we kind of iterate that as we're going into the design response conference so that we can, as we're trying to inform the overall look and feel of the building, we can kind of polish the southeast corner? If everybody's okay with that.
It looks like we're in the right direction, yes.
And Shoshana, I think that it also would be important if there are any adjustments to the massing to see what are the implications. So, if possible, the shadow study, it would be great if that can be provided as well.
Absolutely.
Just to understand the impacts of the changes that you guys are doing.
Great one to include. Well, absolutely, Carlos, include that in the design response conference packet. Have multiple iterations of that with and without type of thing.
Thank you very much, Mark. And Case, and Yaron, and Reese, for taking the notes. Do we have any other open items or any other questions? Okay, John, do we have more issues to discuss tonight?
No, just the typical. The last item is just upcoming meetings. There's currently nothing on the April 4th agenda. if that gets canceled, we'll just we'll notify the board prior, about a week prior. We might get something conceptual design wise, but I don't know yet. So that's it for me.
No polling for attendance.
Correct.
Okay. So is it safe to ask for a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Does anyone second?
Seconded.
Okay. If we're all in agreement, and I believe we are, thank you everyone for attending this meeting, and have a good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.